Hello, everyone. This is Monday, June the 12th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show, sharing it online, leaving us a good review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a link in the description of this podcast so you can do just that.
And the verse of the day today comes from Zechariah 14, verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and his name is one.
That's one thing that really resonates with me, is that the Lord is one. There is one God. There is one true God. And so there's authority in that claim. And there's really it's not even like a 50-50 shot sort of thing. It's either he's God or he isn't.
Right.
You know, that's kind of Pascal's wager thing. There's one God, then there's no back door. There's no backup plan in case this Christianity thing doesn't work out. This is my faith, and this is where I've chosen to, this is the truth I've chosen to base my life upon. And I think where a lot of people would be kind of put off or nervous by the only way, it brings me comfort.
Yeah.
You know, it brings me assurance.
Yeah. Well, and it goes back to what we, you know, we've mentioned on the show about the gospel. The gospel is not Jesus and, it's not an addition to what God has already done.
Right.
God is one. He is the only source of hope, of salvation, of help, of healing. He's it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking for that anywhere else, you're going to ultimately be disappointed.
That's right.
Because God is the one who holds everything together.
We had a text come in this morning from a Kristen T. Ryan, and John, but also, and also Dr. Shah, what's your ideal bedtime?
I've griped about this on the show before, because I go to bed at either 8:30 or midnight,
and neither
is good.
Neither is good.
Neither
you don't like
is a good option. Last night we Elizabeth and I fixed dinner, and then you know, the kids ate, hang out. It's summer break, so we stayed up a little later watching a movie. Movie starts in 5 minutes. I was asleep on the couch within 5 minutes. Missed the entire.
What time was it?
It was, I think, like 8:30, 8:45.
Okay.
Just gone.
Just
done.
You were gone on the couch.
I didn't even know I fell asleep. I was just...
Ellie, I got home last night. I went to the gym after work. We left work about 6, went to the gym, got home about 7:30-ish. Ellie was not feeling good. She was like, I don't feel good. I was like, well, why don't you go lay down for a minute? She's like, I'll lay down. I'm gonna lay... Gone. I think it's like at least 8 o'clock, maybe 8:15. She's asleep.
Zonked.
So I'm like, well, okay, I guess that's all right. I'll put the babies to bed. I'll do the bedtime routine. So I go through the bedtime routine. I get them done. It's about 9:30-ish. I'm like, dang, I can actually go to bed early. I get in the bed. I'm like, oh man, this is going to feel good. I can actually go to bed early. Ellie wakes up. She's like, ooh, I feel so much better. She's like, let's cook. I'm like, I'm not cooking at 9 o'clock. No, I'm going to bed.
I'm ready for 9.
She was like, no, I needed that nap. I feel good now. I was like, this can't be serious.
She was like,
let's stay up. She was like, let's stay up and talk. No, but
let's go to sleep.
Yeah, we get a rare. I ended up going to bed about like 11:30.
Yeah.
Kristen, I would go to bed at 10:30 if I could. 10:30 is pretty early compared to what I usually go to bed. But if I could, I would say 10:30 would be a good bedtime for me.
I would say between 10:30 and 11. Mm-hmm. Like, start getting ready for bed at 10:30 and then be in bed, like ready to go to sleep at 11.
Yeah.
That would be ideal for me. Rarely do I hit that, but that would be ideal.
Now, Dr. Shah, a bit of a night owl.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if he likes to stay up, but he does stay up.
See, I used to be a night owl, but I feel like I've become much more of an early bird. I'm more of a morning person now. I feel like I can think better in the morning.
I was getting that way until my second son was born. Until Holden was born, I was getting up early. I was going to the gym at like 5:30, 6 in the morning. I was like, this is okay. I can get this.
Yeah.
Holden was born and I was like,
that's out the window.
That's done.
Forget that.
No,
absolutely not. Yeah, babies will do that to you. They'll kind of upend your schedule and flip-flop things for you.
I feel like that's
when I transitioned from being a night owl into a morning person.
Yeah. Let's see what Dr. Shah says when we bring him in.
We're going to grab them in just a second. We got a great episode planned for you guys today. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Well, good morning, afternoon, evening, Clearview Today listeners. My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we just want to take a quick second and let you know about another way that you can keep in touch with Dr. Shah's work, and that is his weekly podcast series, Sermons by Abhidhan Shah, PhD.
As a lot of you may know, or maybe some of you don't know.
If you don't know, you do now.
And if you don't know, then maybe just hop off the podcast.
David,
I'm just playing.
Hop off the podcast.
I'm just playing. Keep listening. Dr. Shaw is actually the lead pastor of Clearview Church in North Carolina. Every single weekend, he preaches expository messages that challenge and inspire us to live God-honoring lives.
One of the four core values of Clearview Church is that we're a Bible-believing church. So every sermon is coming directly from Scripture, which is great because that guarantees that there are timeless truths that are constantly applicable to our lives.
This is a great resource because whether you're driving, whether you're cleaning the house, whether you're working out, you can always benefit from hearing the Word of God spoken into your life. And God's Word is always going to do something new for you every time you hear it. Sometimes it's conviction, and sometimes it's encouragement. But know that every time you listen to God's Word, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to move and work in your life.
You guys can check out the Sermons by Abadan Shaw, PhD podcast. First and foremost, check it out on our church app. That's the Clearview app. You can get that in the Google Play Store. You can get that on iTunes. But you can also find the podcast on the Apple Podcast app or on our website at clearviewbc.org. And listen, if you've got a little extra time on your hands, you just want to do some further reading, you can also read the transcripts of those sermons. Those are available on Dr. Shaw's website, abadanshaw.com. And we're going to leave you guys a little link in the description so you can follow it. But for right now, David, let's hop back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right. And if today's your first time ever tuning in to the Clearview Today Show, we want to welcome you, let you know exactly who's talking to you today. Dr. Abadan Shaw is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and host of today's show. You can find all of his work on his website. That's abadanshaw.com.
And Dr. Shaw, I was thinking about this earlier. This has been a very travel-heavy year so far.
Yes. You're like what the quintessential Johnny Cash, I've been everywhere, man. There's been a lot of everywhere, man.
And I'm tired.
I can imagine.
I am tired.
How's your internal clock doing right now?
Not great.
So you were in Turkey for 2 weeks.
Yes.
Came back. Yes. We're here a week. South Dakota for a week.
Right.
And then is that all the traveling this summer?
No, there's more coming up. I'll be in Boston. We're building a relationship with the church, kind of to partner with them and help them. They're doing a fantastic job in reaching the parts of, you know, this old New England states that used to be on fire for the gospel, but unfortunately they're not where they need to be. And God has laid on the hearts of these two pastors to seminarians, men, to make their way to Boston and begin this ministry to revitalize these churches. I mean, they're beautiful churches, small, you know, not huge as in like we would consider them like 5,000-6,000 people, but enough to hold 100, 200 people, maybe even more. Mm-hmm. And they're just sitting there.
Yeah.
And so they are in the process of bringing people on who have the same heart and then be like the hub. Mm-hmm. And they being the spokes, making an impact in their particular communities.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Like in New York, you have different boroughs. Mm-hmm. It's not the same thing, but it has the same concept.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I will be going that way
coming
soon.
So traveling to Boston the next couple of weeks, and then you going to Camp Living Water this summer?
Yes.
So a lot of traveling.
Yeah, Camp Living Water is fun. I've been going there. Good grief. I shouldn't say good grief because I enjoy it. Yeah. Bryson City is beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, the Smoky Mountain Railroad is there. Love the old town. You know, just peaceful. Life kind of slows down. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And our kids have been going to this camp since 2002.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I'm the guest speaker. Very and they've been I speak to what age group is that, Ryan? It's,
so 7 years old up through 11, 12 years old.
Yeah. I mean, they're little kids.
Yeah.
So I'm not used to doing that. That's not my, you know, specialty, but I do it. And amazingly, at the end of the week, at least 10 to 12 baptisms.
Wow. Yeah.
People, you know, kids coming to know Christ.
That's awesome.
And following through. It is unbelievable.
It's fantastic. My kids love it. They come back talking about it. They enjoy it.
So it's kind of funny, but people see me in this setting, you know, talking to adults and talking about the end times, apologetics.
Very big.
And they're over there. It's not even like I start doing baby talk or anything like that. No. Even there, I'm like talking about, like last time... What did I talk about last time? I just escaped my head. Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I talked about Egypt. You know, I spend the whole week on Joseph in Egypt and, you know, the plagues of Egypt and all that stuff and how God led the people of Israel out of Egypt. And these kids loved it. Mm-hmm. At the end of the week, I mean, they were on their faces in prayer. And I mean, it's crazy. I have pictures amazing. Of that. I'm like, how is this happening?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So internal clock. It's not
doing great.
No.
Well, listen, I know this is going to affect your answer, but Kristen T, she wrote in, she wanted to know, what is your ideal bedtime? I know that's going to change now that lately, but let's just say presently.
Like 12, 1 o'clock. Like last night it was 1, and I'm like, I need to sleep, but I'm still wide awake. Mm. And finally I called it and cut the lights out.
Yeah.
On a normal night, you say about the same.
I would like to go to bed no later than 11.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be in bed by like 10:40, 10:30. Yeah. That's what I would like to do. And then read for maybe another hour. Mm-hmm. And then be done, like 11:30.
With your, I don't want to spend the whole time on this, but with your PhD, with your dissertation, you got your dissertation in 2019.
Yes.
Would you say that, how often would you say you actually got to bed by 11 during those days?
The dissertation, yeah, like this, the actual, like, about to
like
turn
when you were
it
writing
in.
It.
Oh, there were times I was up all night.
Wow.
Didn't go to bed until like 4:30, 5 o'clock.
That's insane.
Man. Of course, I slept until 10, 11 o'clock, and then I came into work here. Mm. But yeah, there were times that were 3-4 o'clock in the morning I was up.
That's crazy.
Because I was like, this much has to be done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And with this much, what I mean is these corrections or these suggestions that my professor made that have to be changed in my dissertation, that has to be done. I cannot go to sleep without doing that.
Yeah.
So if it's 4 o'clock, it's 4 o'clock.
Man, Kristen, to answer your question, we're some night owls. Probably Dr. Shaw more so than any of us, but
yeah.
Which I don't enjoy.
Yeah, right.
I'm hoping to get back to normalcy, which I think I will be soon.
Yeah.
Yes. End in sight.
Yeah.
Well, in thinking about travel, you know, we are trying to plan out how we pack things and yeah. what makes it on the plane or what makes it with you. I learned the hard way sometime recently the very important distinction between what you put in your checked bags and what you put in your carry-on.
Right.
If you don't have it in your carry-on, there's a chance that it might not be with you at your destination.
I think we were there when you learned that lesson.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Nothing like life teaching you that lesson. I'll never make that mistake ever again.
What happened? Remind me again.
So it was last year's staff retreat.
Yeah.
When we got stuck in our layover in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, it's no big deal. We're just hopping it over and it's fine. We didn't have anything. We didn't have toiletries. We didn't have a change of clothes. We didn't have anything
in
our checked bags. And we're, you know, we get checked into a hotel to wait for our flight the next day. And we're like,
Well, that is
and
where
we are.
Check into our hotel or get into the hotel room and lay down until what 2:30 or so, somewhere
2:30, 3 o'clock.
Like it might have been 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I think we got probably about 3 hours of sleep that night.
And I hate to say it, it was a very poor show on part of the airline.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And again, if y'all you work in the airline, we have a lady who worked in the airline. She came to me after I shared some stories and said, "You know, that's not true." So I do understand.
Yeah.
If you work, thank you for your hard work.
Yes.
I don't want to ever minimize how much you guys go through, but at the same time, you know, passengers go through stuff too.
Right.
Yeah,
so I want to emphasize that as well.
We appreciate all your hard work, but that was not a stellar moment for the airline.
Yeah, that it was lined up.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a line.
It was
awful.
It was really
bad. And I asked somebody, I said, tell me, is this like the worst night you're having? He's like, this is every night. I said, what do you mean? He said, this happens every night. I said, these flights get canceled every night? He said, oh yeah. I said, how long has it been happening? For days and days.
Oh,
really?
No.
So this is nothing new. Saying nope.
Wow.
But I think it does illustrate that point you made that you have to know what to pack.
Yeah.
Right.
Like when you go away for the summer, you have to know what to take with you. And that's not just physically, like, yeah, you need a change of clothes, you need your toiletries and stuff, but spiritually, what do you take with you when you travel?
Yeah, what are the essentials for your spiritual carry-on?
Mm-hmm. Well, I used Paul as my guide in framing this answer, mm-hmm. okay? Now, you know, Paul did a lot of traveling. I mean, he, you know, he made use of the Roman road network, which was about 53,000 miles mm-hmm. of road. I did some studying on Roman roads. I mean, it was amazing.
Wow.
These roads were built in some ways even better than the roads are built today.
Wow.
Yeah, there's information out there. There are diagrams on how they laid down the gravel and they laid down the blocks and then laid down certain mortar and then came the blocks on the top. Mm-hmm. I mean, these roads were meant to last. They had the angle of inclination, whatever, you know, for the water to run off and all that. I mean, they made sure of all of that.
Wow.
So Paul made use of these roads, and according to some estimates, as many as 12,000 miles he walked.
That's insane. 12,000 yeah. miles.
Gosh. Now he may have definitely taken a mule with him, or somebody had a mule and they would put his stuff on the mule so he would just walk. But knowing Paul, did he ride a horse up and down? You know, the wealthy would ride a horse. I don't know for sure if Paul did. There is no evidence of that. He could ride a horse. I mean, you know, he was a prisoner from Caesarea Maritima, from Jerusalem to Caesarea Maritima. He went on a horse. Mm-hmm. So he could ride one. But I don't know if he did all his missionary journeys on a horseback. So imagine all of that. And he tells Philemon, you know, to prepare a guest room for him, because guest rooms were there back in those days and they were not very clean. Yeah. They had bugs. They had bed bugs. There's even an apocryphal work called the Apocrypha of John, in which John gets to this inn and it's filled with bed bugs.
Oh man.
And so John orders them out.
Horrible, horrible.
And they make their way out. The next morning when he gets up, is about to leave, they beg him to let them back in. And he said, okay, fine. And he lets them back in.
Wow. Nothing new under the sun, huh? Yeah. Nothing
How about
new.
The bed bugs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The story I can tell, it's a myth. I can't see John the Apostle talking to bed bugs.
That does seem a little fantastical.
Yeah, I wonder why that one wasn't included in the canon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, nothing new. They had gamblers and thieves and prostitutes at those inns and all that kind of stuff. But the whole point is, you know, what is it that Paul had on himself? Like a carry-on. Mm-hmm. What did he keep with him? And I'm talking about more spiritually speaking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The thing he had with him at all times was his testimony.
That's right. That's right.
Right? He may have had his tent. He may have had his parchments, maybe a cloak. Remember, he talks about his cloak and he tells Timothy, you know, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas.
Mm-hmm.
Please bring it because it's getting cold here. He even tells him, bring the books, especially the parchments, which means the Old Testament rolls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can carry the Bible like you carry them today, you know, just one book. So, yeah, he didn't have those things on himself. But what he did have at all times was his testimony.
That's right. And that's what we take with us when we go places, you know, our testimony, the way we live our lives. If we claim to be Christians, or if we go out, even travel to some places, I'm wearing like a Clearview jacket. You know, that's something to keep in mind, is that it's got Clearview Church right on the name of it. So if I'm, you know, carrying on, acting a fool, making life hard on the waitresses or doing whatever, you know, that's hurting my testimony. Yes. It's hurting the testimony of my church.
Yeah. Your testimony is so powerful, so impactful, because it's uniquely yours. No one else can share that story because you are the one in whom God has worked. It's such a powerful tool for sharing the gospel because it is unique to you.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:26, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. I mean, all these things are connected with travel.
Mm-hmm.
But in all these situations, he had his testimony.
That's right. That's right.
Something else he had was prayer.
That's true.
Paul was a man of prayer. You know, the Bible talks about in 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for you all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So as he's going up and down in his carry-on, he has prayer.
That's right. And that's,
again, I hope people know it's not like a prayer book or a shawl or something. No, the idea of prayer.
Well, I think that's good to point out, because it's the spiritual things we take with us when we travel. And I know me, like when I'm traveling, I'm focused on the here and the now and the logistics and getting here and making sure the kids are okay. And he just threw up. Let me take care of that. I'm not praying.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not doing my devotions unless I'm actively disciplined enough to make myself do it. And 9 times out of 10 when I travel, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw David praying in the morning. Do you pray every day, or did you pray some of the days, David?
I tried to pray every morning before I got out of bed, and then I would get up and go like to the actual room,
the living room area, by the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And I would read a book, On Prayer by Ian Bounds. That was somebody yes. that you recommended to me, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That I've really come to love and has a lot of good insight on prayer. So I tried to use that time wisely because there wasn't many. It was like me and Ryan and maybe like Nicole were up. So yeah, I tried to use that time as wisely
as possible. Jones would get up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, get up early, start the morning in prayer and mm-hmm. read your devotion.
So my encouragement to people who are listening is as you go away this summer, okay, whether it's for a day trip or for the week or a couple of weeks on the cruise, don't forget to take definitely your testimony.
That's right.
You know who you are in Christ and be willing to share it. You don't mm-hmm. have to go into detail, but you can talk about what Jesus has done in your heart.
Mm-hmm. And I find for me, like praying is even more, praying is easier if I get the word read first. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I very rarely do my devotions and then don't pray.
Mm.
So, you know, it's already a discipline to do your devotions in the morning, but I feel like a lot of people, myself included, will use vacation or time away as an excuse just to not do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is a great point because of the third thing you need to have in your spiritual carry-on. We're mm-hmm. not talking about physical carry-ons. I hope people know that by now. Of course, you'll have a change of clothing in your physical carry-on. Carry-on is the bag you have to keep with you, right? Mm-hmm. You may have your phone chargers with you. You may have an iPad or a Mac or your computer with you. You may have, you know, just basic toiletries or whatever. No, I'm talking about the spiritual carry-on.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you have the Word of God with you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, you know, we already talked about that. But here's a verse that you need to remember. Psalm 119, 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path."
I've always loved the imagery of that verse.
Yeah.
You know, just seeing those bare feet in the darkness and then just like almost like stage lights, like coming down and lighting that yeah. path for the psalmist to walk. I've always loved that imagery.
Yeah. So definitely make sure you take the word of God with you. And today, we're so blessed compared to Paul's days where you would have tons of rolls mm-hmm. of parchment.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't have to do that. You have your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have like 200 Bibles in your phone.
That's
yeah.
true.
It just
Yeah, you can have every translation known to man. If you've got YouVersion, which is a free app, you've got yeah. the Word of God ready.
Amen.
So many different translations and variations yeah. for you to choose yeah. from.
And plans for you to read from, too. I mean, it's easier.
Yeah, they lay it out for you.
It's easier now than ever. Excuse me. It's easier now than ever because it's going to pop up with a push notification.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I need to check that push notification, but it's your devotions. Click through and read your devotions.
Yeah.
And your phone, use your phone as a tool to remind you.
Absolutely. We can fight technology, and technology has some problems. We definitely know that. We know the problems it's causing in our world, in our young people, in our lives. But why not use the positive side, which is read the Bible.
That's right.
Read devotions. Use those notifications to help you.
Absolutely.
The next one is the church.
See, I was just about to say that with the technology thing, people will always say, well, because I'm gone, I can't attend church. Bro.
Yeah.
You know good and well, and that may have been true in like the early yeah. 2000s when only like mega churches were on TV and stuff, but you know good and well, almost every church in America now has live streaming capabilities.
yep. Thanks to the online. Pandemic, right?
Right.
Something good
yeah.
came out of that.
Yeah, we were doing it before.
Sharpened our ability.
Everybody wanted to start doing it.
Yeah, we had people ask us,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had churches ask us to help them and guide them through the mm-hmm. process of you know, live streaming.
Yeah.
And we did.
Yeah.
We helped several
Yeah,
churches.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, traveling and vacation is a good thing to get away from some of the stresses of life. Church is not one of those things that you get away from when you're
right.
traveling.
Well, you hear that. People will be like, oh, we're just so busy. We're going here and there. We're just gonna sleep in on Sunday. I mean, even yeah. if you're like traveling during the week and back on the weekend, we're just gonna rest. We're just gonna, you know, use this as like our family time. And hey, you need to have family time. That's important. Spend time with your family. We're not saying that, but church is not on the list of things to cut
right.
to make more time for other things.
That shouldn't be one of the stresses that,
should be,
that you go on vacation for.
Exactly. That should be a non-negotiable. That
right.
shouldn't be one of the things that you cut to lighten your load.
Mm-hmm. Check up on people back home. You know, you have a phone, send them a text. You know, they're in the hospital. Don't think that just the pastor back home is going to take care of them or your Sunday school class will handle that. Just a text and say, mm-hmm. hey, heard you had the baby, or hey, sorry about the death in your family. Hey, I heard you were having a surgery or whatever. I'm praying for you. That's all it takes.
Mm-hmm.
No long conversations needed. you're on a vacation, you're with your family, enjoy that time, but why not touch back?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then also, another thing to keep with you in your spiritual carry-on is a sense of watchfulness.
Mm. That's true.
Satan doesn't say, "Oh, they're on vacation. I'm going
to
leave them alone.
I reckon I'll stay here at home. I'll stay here. I'll wait for him to get back."
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Now, he may not personally go because he's not omnipresent, but he will definitely send a representative with you.
That's right.
Mm.
He'll be in that hotel room. He'll be on the beach. He'll be in the restaurant. He'll be in the swimming pool. He's always there. And he's going to test you with your temper. He's going to test you with outbursts of wrath. He's going to test you with lust and pride and something else. He's always going to find something to throw in the mix.
And travel is a great, great way to indulge in sin.
Yeah.
Because I'm not home.
Yeah. When you're either stressed out or you feel like nobody's watching.
That's mm-hmm. right. That's right. Nobody here knows me.
That's right. You
know? That's often we rationalize like a free pass. Like I'm taking a vacation. I'm taking a break. So I'm going to take a break from these, you know, spiritual things that I know I need to do, or these guidelines I know I need to follow. What God's word says. I'm just going to take a break from it for a little while. I'll come back to it. But yeah. I'm going to take a break. No.
The enemy never takes a break.
That's right.
He always sends somebody with you whose purpose is to steal your joy, to bring out the worst in you, to take you from a good memory to some really bad memory.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So why should you drop your guard?
Mm-hmm.
So as you go on this vacation or cruise or just a day trip, make sure you walk away aware. And when you start sensing that evil come on and start sensing yourself walking in the wrong direction or returning to your old habits, or allowing the sins of the flesh to manifest themselves, stop yourself and deal with it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's a great reminder for us. Keep an eye on that watchfulness, keeping an eye, guarding ourselves. And then, while difficulties might come, while difficulties might happen, even on vacation, it brings us back to knowing who God is and remembering what we're called to do as believers. If we have those carry-ons with us, they're not going to be left. They're not going to be checked somewhere. We're not going to, be separated from them. We're going to have those with us no matter where we travel.
And you carry your testimony, you carry the word of God, but you also carry those things like your sufferings, like when Paul was talking about taking his sufferings along his missionary journeys.
Yep.
It's tough because then people are like, that's why I'm traveling. I'm trying to get away from this. I'm trying to get away from my sufferings and my anxiety. And we're not saying to dwell on them, but when you bring them along with you, then you still rely on God's grace while you're traveling.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
Galatians 6:17 says, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body." And you could put that word "bear" as "I carry on" in my body.
Very nice.
"The marks of the Lord Jesus."
Mm.
So you don't get to check those.
That's right. That's right. You got to take them with you.
You got some struggles in your life. You have some pain and suffering. You have some health problems, financial problems, emotional struggles, social struggles, relational struggles, spiritual struggles. Just because you're moving location doesn't mean they go away.
That's right.
They're with you.
That's right.
And unfortunately, at the wrong times, they will manifest themselves.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. We think that we can move or we can travel and get away from our anxieties or all those projects that we're building up that I'm just going to push them to the side and not think about it because this is my fun week. But you can do that, but they're going to be here waiting
Absolutely.
For you when you get back. And because you haven't spent that time relying on God's grace, you're going to try to solve them in your own power, your own strength, it's going to make a mess.
That's right.
And I've done it time and time and time again. I've done that.
Yeah.
You can only rest in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen. Right. Such a great reminder for us. As you're headed towards summer vacation, make sure you have the right things packed in your carry-on. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. And you can partner with us financially on that same website. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love you guys. We'll see you next time on Clearview Today.